And turn them to hymn number 262. We'll begin this evening. Number 262, the light of the world is Jesus. Number 262. Once you found your place on that first verse, we'll begin. The light of the world is Jesus. Hymn number 262.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. The sunshine and new day is glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, it's shining for me. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, it's shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Ye dwellers in darkness with sin blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at his bidding and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, it's shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, it's shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon thee. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus.
Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. I pray that you'll bless our song worship and the preaching to follow. And please be with the Coletto family and answer our prayers concerning them. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hymn number 113 is next. Wonderful Peace, number 113. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight. Number 113. Lift up your voices together on this first verse. Hymn number 113.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight, for the melody sweeter than song. In celestial strains it unceasingly falls, o'er my soul again infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul. So secure that no power can find it away, all the years of eternity hold. Peace is wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in the fathomless billows of love. I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace.
And methinks I rise to that city of peace. That one sang of a song which the ransom will sing, and that heavenly kingdom shall be. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. A soul, are you here without comfort or rest, marching down the rough pathway of time? Jesus, your friend, there the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept the sweet peace, so sublime. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
Amen. Good singing. All right, this time we'll go through our announcements together. If you don't have a bulletin, put up your hand nice and high. We'll get to you with one. On the inside, we have our service time. Sunday mornings at 10:30 is our preaching service. Sunday nights at 6. Wednesday nights at 7 is our Bible study. This week we'll be in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We've got the soul winning times listed there below, as well as salvations and baptisms. Across the page is the note about the mother-daughter tea party. That ship has already sailed, but thank you to everyone who participated in that. And then below that is a note about the free materials that we have available. In the back, always, the DVDs, Bibles, anything back there is always free. Take as much as you like, pass them on to people. And then also my piano course, my wife's cookbook, the homeschool book that my wife wrote, and the swimwear patterns and everything like that. That stuff's all available for free. So it's all either back there or come see us and we'll get you what you need. And then below that at the bottom is the note about the Red Hot Preaching Conference in Sacramento, California. We are trying to help as many people as we can get out there with transportation, lodging, etc. So if you want to go, if you're planning on going, let us know and get signed up. I believe there's a sign-up sheet over by the kitchen so that we can coordinate with you on that. And then on the back, keep praying for our ladies that are expecting, that they'll have a safe and healthy pregnancy and delivery. And then the ladies' retreat is coming up August 25th through 28th. Another thing that's not in the bulletin is that Brother Daniel Hernandez is going to be doing a special music night on Thursday the 3rd of June at 7 p.m. So right here, Thursday the 3rd of June, 7 p.m. right here. So he's been doing the singing class on Sunday evenings at 5 o'clock. This is going to be more involved. It's going to have it's going to have food, okay? There's going to be food. But anyway, you know, they're going to be playing some games, doing some singing, learning about music, and also, did I mention there's going to be free food? And the thing about Faithful Word is that the food's always good, all right? Can I get a witness? Yeah. So we only serve food that we would serve to Jesus if he were here, and that's our philosophy. So anyway, that's going to be on June 3rd, Thursday at 7 p.m., and it might become like a monthly thing on the first Thursday of the month. So keep that in mind. And I believe that that's it for now. Yes. What? Yes, of course. We've been talking about this before the service and we've been praying about this. The Coletto's got in a car accident today, which is always a horrible thing to hear. But the I don't really have a lot of details or anything, but from what I heard, it sounds like Brother Thomas has broken his leg, and it sounded like he broke his ankle. And so obviously that's serious when you're breaking your femur. He had a little bit of head trauma, maybe concussion or something. But he seems like he's going to be okay, and his father's okay, but his mother is the one that is in bad shape, because she broke some ribs and has some internal bleeding. So just pray that everybody comes through this okay. Thank God everybody survived, and it looks like everybody's going to be okay in the end. But just definitely be praying for them, especially for Mrs. Coletto, that she'll make a full recovery. So let's bow our heads and pray right now as a church, in fact. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for Brother Thomas and his parents and just talking to them and seeing them this morning. It's hard to believe that they're in the hospital right now, having gone through this terrible car accident. And Lord, we just pray that you would just guide and direct everything that happens in that hospital and give doctors wisdom and give everybody good decision-making as far as medical decisions, Lord, and just comfort them through the pain of these injuries, Lord. And I just pray that everyone involved would make a full recovery and that you would ultimately use this for good. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, and then let's go ahead and count up the soul winning from the past few days, going back to Thursday. Anything from Thursday? Okay, anything else from Thursday? Any other soul winning times from Thursday? What about Friday? You have anything from Friday? And then how about Saturday? Anything from Saturday?
Globe.
For the trip to Globe, so we had a crew go out to Globe, and they had seven people saved out there over the weekend. Is that another one outside of Globe? Okay. Anything else from Saturday? All right, and then is that Saturday? Gotcha. Okay, and then how about today, Sunday? Anything else from today? Okay, we got one over here. Gotcha. Got it. Okay, any other soul winning from today? All right, very good. Keep up the great work on soul winning. And with that, let's go ahead and sing our next song. Come lead us.
All right, in the front of your hymnals, you should find Psalm 139, that sheet in the front. If you don't have one, please raise your hand. Psalm 139, sing it on this first verse. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked.
Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate me. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate me. And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. For they speak against thee wickedly. For they speak against thee wickedly. And thine enemies sake thy name in vain. And thine enemies sake thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate me. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate me. And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate me. I hate them with perfect hatred. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. I count them my enemies. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate me. Do not those that rise up against thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate me. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate me.
Amen. In your hymnals, please turn to hymn number 114. The Great Physician Now Is Near, number 114. And on this first verse, hymn number 114.
The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks a drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest God in Sarah's song, sweetest name on board. Jesus, blessed Jesus. your many sins are all forgiven. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Go on your way in peace to heaven and wear a crown with Jesus. Sweetest note in Sarah's song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. All glory to the dying Lamb, I now believe in Jesus. I love the blessed Savior's name, I love the name of Jesus. Sweetest note in Sarah's song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. And when to that bright world above we rise to be with Jesus, we'll sing around the throne of love His name, the name of Jesus. Sweetest note in Sarah's song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus.
Amen. Good singing.
This time we'll quickly pass our offering plates. As the plates go around, let's turn our Bibles to Nahum chapter number 3, the end of the Old Testament. In the minor prophets, we've got the book of Nahum, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. We're going to Nahum chapter number 3. As we always do, we'll read the entire chapter beginning in verse number 1. Follow along silently with Brother Dan as he reads Nahum chapter 3 beginning verse number 1.
Nahum chapter 3. The Bible reads, "Woe to the bloody city! It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip, and the noise of a rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing horses, and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpse. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts, behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? Art thou better than populous Noah, that was situate among the rivers, that had the waters round about it, whose rampart was the sea, and her wall was from the sea? Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was infinite. Put and Lubim were thy helpers. Yet she was carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed in pieces at the top of all the streets, and they cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. Thou also shalt be drunken, thou shalt be hid, thou also shalt seek strength because of the enemy. All thy strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. The fire shall devour thy bars. Draw thee waters for the siege. Fortify thy strongholds. Go into clay and tread the mortar, make strong the brick kiln. There shall the fire devour thee. The sword shall cut thee off. It shall eat thee up like the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the locusts. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. The cankerworm spoileth and flieth away. Thy crowned are as the locusts, and thy captains as the great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in the cold day. But when the sun ariseth, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. Thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people is scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathereth them. There is no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruit of thee shall clap the hands over thee. For upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually?"
Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. And I pray that you would fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit. Please help us all to learn something tonight. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Man, the title of my sermon tonight is America is Like Nineveh. America is Like Nineveh. If you understand the context of the book of Nahum, this is a book that is directed against the city of Nineveh, the city-state of Nineveh. We think of Nineveh as being a city, but when the Bible talks about places like Nineveh and Babylon, these are actually nations, and they're city-states. The city is the center of their kingdom or their realm, but it really goes beyond that. It's more like a nation. And if you remember, of course, the famous book about Nineveh is the book of Jonah. And that's the one where Jonah goes there and preaches, and they actually repent and get right with God. Well, you know, this is a different time period. This is later on, and this time they don't repent, and so they get wiped out. So in Nahum chapter number 3, as you go through this about Nineveh, it's hard not to apply many of these things to the United States of America today. Now, obviously, we often think of parallels between the United States and Babylon. But really, you could make a lot of those same parallels between the United States and Nineveh, because Nineveh is a lot like Babylon. And there are a lot of similarities there with these cities that have great empires, and they are very degenerate and wicked in the end, and they always end up getting destroyed and punished, and America is going to be no exception to that. Let's start out in verse number 1 of Nahum chapter 3. It says, "Woe to the bloody city, it is all full of lies and robbery, the prey departeth not." And the first thing that stands out to me from this verse are just the three basic sins that are mentioned here that God is angry about and for which God's wrath is coming. And if you would, keep your finger there and go to Revelation chapter number 9. Because in Revelation chapter number 9, when God's talking about pouring out his wrath and punishing the inhabitants of the world for all their sins, beginning of verse number 20, it says, "And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." And when you see what God is angry about when he's pouring out his wrath, obviously in verse number 20, it has to do with idolatry, false religion, false gods. But then in verse 21, he just brings up some really basic sins: murder, sorcery, fornication, and theft. And what you need to understand is that these are the basic things that enrage God. They're not complicated. It's pretty much just, "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." And these are the things that we as Christians need to stay far away from. We need to make sure that we are not thieves, that we're not lying, that we're not committing fornication or adultery, that we're not being blasphemous. You know, God's rules are pretty basic, and it's pretty obvious that our country today is in violation when we've got abortion and we've got all kinds of fornication and adultery, stealing, and all kinds of wickedness. You know, these are the things that make God angry. He says, "Woe to the bloody city," in Nahum chapter 3, verse 1. You know, that's referring to murder, killing innocent people. And that has to do with, of course, abortion today in America here at home. But then also, what about just going to other countries and killing people for the sake of earning natural resources or oil or opium or whatever we're fighting for in all of these other countries? Because from whence come wars and fightings among us? Come they not hence of your lust which war in your members? Right? So according to the Bible, the source of warfare is greed and lust and people desiring things that don't belong to them. You know, the United States is no different. We are greedy and want to take other people's resources and have all the power. And look, you know, if you're a patriotic, flag-waving, apple pie-eating type American, you know, I've got some bad news for you tonight, that America is a wicked nation. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there's a reason why we're not flying the Babylon flag up here tonight, because America has become a very ungodly and wicked nation and a force for evil in this world and is spreading its evil throughout the world. Okay. Now, you might be in denial about that and you might think that America is a godly, wonderful Christian nation, but it isn't. Okay, if we actually apply the Bible standards to it, we're going to find that America is filled with all of the things that Nineveh was filled with: innocent blood, lies, robbery, and wickedness. Now, this is not to say that I am ungrateful as an American, you know, living as an American, because I understand that I'm living in one of the most prosperous nations in the world. I'm living in the freest nation in the world. And so I'm really blessed to have freedom and to have prosperity and opportunity. But let me tell you something. I get on my knees every day and I thank God for that. Amen. I don't venerate George Washington for that. Okay? I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, founding fathers, oh, thank you. Oh, Benjamin Franklin, thank you so much, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. Look, most of those guys are burning in hell. It's just a reality, my friend. This world is going to pass away. Everybody who's without Christ goes to hell when they die. It's that simple. And you know what? God uses all kinds of people to fulfill his plan and to fulfill his will. But at the end of the day, I am going to thank and be grateful unto God alone for all of the blessings that I enjoy in my life. I'm not going to venerate the founding fathers from hundreds of years ago, because you know, they're not the reason that I'm free today. I'm free today because of Jesus Christ, not because of them. And let me tell you something right now. The people that are running our country today is not George Washington. It's not John Adams. It's not Thomas Jefferson. They are evil, wicked, in many cases, sodomites. They're reprobates. They hate the Lord. They hate Christ. And folks, they are not the reason that we're enjoying the things that we enjoy today in America. So why should I thank them? Why should I thank Joe Biden or Donald Trump or whoever else in our government? I'm not thankful to any of them. I'm thankful to the Lord alone. You say, well, thank those guys from the past. Well, you know what? They're gone. They already turned to dust. They don't matter anymore. And you know what? Thousands of years from now, people are going to be George Washington who? They're not even going to know. They're not even going to care. Okay, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Okay, so, you know, God uses these instruments. Don't worship the instrument that God uses. Worship the God who uses that instrument. Amen. Don't bow down and worship the net and worship the drag, as it says in Habakkuk chapter 1. You know, worship the Lord who wields these things. And so, you know, when I read this chapter, I see America being described. And the reason to preach a sermon like this is that America needs to be called to repentance today. We need to wake up and understand just how godless our country has become, and we need to call America to repentance. And not only that, we need to not participate in the wickedness that our country is doing. And I'm going to say some things tonight that are probably not going to be popular with a lot of people, but you know, I believe what the Bible says here. And we need to make sure that our citizenship is in heaven and understanding that that's where our loyalty lies. Because if you're going to go into the end times with an attitude that says, you know, American first, Christian second, and I'm loyal and I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, you know, how's that going to work in the end times when the United States is basically just working for the Antichrist at some point? So we need to understand that we are just sojourners. We are just resident aliens in the United States. We're just passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, what prompted me to preach this sermon or to think about this? Well, I saw a video a couple days ago that was a recruitment video for the U.S. Army that came out a couple days ago. And somebody had put it together with a recruitment video from China and Russia And then they put this video of the United States. So, you know, the Chinese recruitment video is just showing all of these Chinese people in lockstep, and they're all in their uniforms, and they're all drilling, and they just seem really disciplined and really powerful, and they have all these weapons. And then it showed these Russians, they're doing all these push-ups and jumping over things and loading weapons and, you know, just looking really cool, really macho, really bad, you know. I mean, they both seem like a formidable force that they're assembling. And these are videos to try to get people to sign up. Then it switched to America. And I kid you not, it was this woman who's saying, you know, I grew up with two moms in California. And she did, it's just going, like, literally the whole video, it's just like, oh, and by the way, did I mention I have two moms? Oh, and guess what? You're not going to believe this. I have two moms. They're lesbian. It literally just kept bringing it up. Even when it had nothing to do with where the video was even going, it's just showing pictures of just these couple of filthy dykes. Yes, that's what they are. These disgusting lesbians, these filthy, vile beasts, as the Bible calls them, these sodomites. And it just keeps showing you this, and it's just this cartoon showing you this girl, and she grew up, and, you know, she's in a sorority in her university, and she's just kind of bored in the university. And, you know, one of her sorority sisters went to Italy, and the other one went to climb Mount Everest, and I decided to join the U.S. Army. And I'm just thinking, well, this is really going to strike fear and terror into our enemies. Folks, who has seen the video? Put up your hand if you've seen it. You got to go see it. It's bad. It's on the U.S. Army's official YouTube page. It's terrible. So then I'm reading the comments on the YouTube page, and they said, oh, man, you got to check out the CIA's video. It's even worse. So then I go over to the CIA's YouTube channel. And I kid you not, it's a faggot librarian. And this is a recruiting video for the CIA. And this guy's like, oh, you know, growing up gay in a southern small town. And then it talks about how, you know, when he joined the CIA, he thought he wasn't going to be able to talk about his personal life. But then as he was being sworn into the CIA, the guy who was swearing him in was wearing a rainbow on his lapel. And it turned out that the CIA is a fag organization. And isn't this so great? We're all just a bunch of fags down at the CIA. That's what this guy's saying. So, you know, he's a middle school librarian, so he could have access to adolescent boys. But anyway, he's at this middle school library. The guy's got like a metal ring through his septum, you know, like a little ring in it, like coming out. It basically just looks like he's got a little metal booger in each nostril. There's like a permanent metal booger on each side, right? He's got this little thing in his nose. And then he's talking about how, you know, oh, this is how he's going to help the CIA, is he introduced them to a lot of new board games. And he's like, this is my latest project. And he's got all these board games. And, you know, some of them were games that I play, you know, okay. You know, I play Codenames. That's a cool board game. But anyway, you know, he had all these board games. And he's like, you know, and it just shows him like sitting at this table looking real serious, like playing a board game. Yeah, you know, we're gonna protect you, you know. And he's playing like some little board game. And they're talking about, oh, you know, we're getting our officers playing these board games because it teaches them strategy and stuff, you know, if they play these board games. It's like, yeah, we all learned strategy as kids when we played those games. It's like, so this is the CIA now? There's a fag librarian board game night? Dungeons and Dragons with a guy with a metal booger hanging out of his nose? This is the CIA? And, you know, the Army, CIA. But, you know, I'll tell you what was encouraging about it, though, was that when you look at the comments, of course, on the Army's website and on the CIA's YouTube channel, they have comments turned off on the video. Isn't that interesting? All their other videos, they have the comments turned on, except these queer-promoting videos, they have the comments turned off. But if you looked at the like versus dislike ratio, it had more than 20 times as many dislikes as likes. Amen. It was like 70,000 thumbs down. And it was like 3,000 thumbs up and 70,000 thumbs down. I kid you not. It was just overwhelmingly 20 times as many people thumbing it up. So look, I'm not saying that the American people are necessarily wicked. There are a lot of great Americans out there. There are 7,000 men that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. You know, we're here. We're Americans. We love the Lord. And we don't promote this degenerate death style of sodomy. But imagine our government putting out these videos with our tax dollars promoting this filth, promoting this garbage, you know, and 20 times as many people are saying, no, we don't want this. This is gross. And then they disable videos. So tell me again how the U.S. Army fights for our freedom. What does that mean? What's freedom? Oh, you mean like freedom of speech? Freedom of speech, right? So they love our freedom of speech so much that they won't let us talk on their YouTube channel. They don't want to hear what the people have to say. And isn't it interesting how they're fighting for our freedom of speech, but they disable the comments. And then when somebody puts 20 times as many thumbs down, do they listen to the will of the people? Do they listen to the voice of the people and say, hey, we represent the American people. You know, they have the freedom to decide what their military is going to do, what their Congress is going to do, what their president's going to do, what their Supreme Court. No, they don't. They do what they want. They're going to keep on promoting this sodomite filth. And let me tell you something. It creates a positive feedback loop. Because what happens is when they promote this sodomite filth, normal people are not going to want to join the military. And let me just say right now, you young people, I recommend that none of you join the military.
Amen.
I recommend that none of you join the U.S. Army, Amen. That none of you join the CIA. I recommend that none of you go into any of America's armed forces. And you know why? It's because of stuff like this. And that's why other pastors all over America are saying the exact same thing, Amen. Because of stuff like this. And then what happens is then the good people stop joining. And then you get more of the worst people joining. Since our government is literally actively recruiting homos now. They're just targeting homos. Okay. And then you're going to get more of these degenerate reprobates. And then that's going to make Christians want to join even less. And then you're going to get more degenerates. And then it creates positive feedback to where it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Folks, how can you get mad at me for not being pro-American and flag-waving when that is our official government's policy to put out these videos promoting this stuff? Like, how can I be for America and for the Word of God if America is promoting sodomy? They're promoting the worst sins. It's a force for evil in the world. And look, I don't care what you say, Republican, Democrat. Hey, Donald Trump was doing the same thing because guess what? Donald Trump was promoting sodomy all over the world. He hired an ambassador to Germany that was an open flamer. He was the first open flamer ambassador in the history of the United States. Appointed by Donald Trump and Pence, though. Hey, I watched Mike Pence praising this open faggot and saying how great it is. We're going to send this guy to Germany and he's going to represent us over there. Folks, that's wicked. I can't get behind that. I can't participate in that. I'm not going to.
Amen. Right.
And so, you know, we're sending an ambassador. And look, the expressed goal of our government is to make homosexuality legal in every country. Because last time I checked, there were like 70 countries where it's still illegal. By the way, it was illegal in some places in the United States until 2003. You know, back in the Old Testament, 2003 is when it became legal everywhere. And now it's legal in everywhere except like 68, 69, 70 countries. And our government's express goal is to make it legal everywhere. And we have sent our ambassadors into Africa, going from country to country to country in Africa, influencing them to make it legal. And folks, the U.S. government literally paid a radio station in South Africa $8,000 just to persecute me and get me thrown out of South Africa. To spend 6 months on a campaign against myself and get me thrown out of the country and get me thrown out of Botswana. Your tax dollars at work. But I'm supposed to think, like, no, America is a great nation, and we're a force for good in the world, and we're a city on a hill. No, you know what? God's people are a city on a hill. Christians are a city on a hill. The Baptist churches in America are a city on a hill. But let me tell you something. Our nation, and specifically those who are running our nation, are ambassadors of Satan, is what they are. And our country is like Nineveh today. Let's go through the passage here, since I'm just kind of going off. Let's get into the Word of God here. It says, the noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there's a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon the corpses. Now, God is predicting, God is prophesying carnage. He's prophesying judgment because sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's what the Bible says. Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You say, well, they're not hurting anybody, these homos. Yeah, they are, because their sin brings forth death. Stealing, murder, adultery, fornication, sodomy, these sins ultimately bring death. They bring judgment. Why is there just this great number of carcasses and corpses to where people are stumbling upon the corpses? He's predicting that's going to happen in Nineveh. Why? In verse 4, it tells us why. Because, chapter 3, verse 4 of Nahum, because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. And you can see there the similarity of language that God uses about Babylon, both in Isaiah and Jeremiah and also in the book of Revelation in chapter 17 and 18. So you can see the connection. Babylon is another Nineveh. Yeah, and the USA is another Babylon. You got Nineveh, Babylon, Rome, the United States. It's the same old story, folks. It's the same spirit. And so it says in verse 5, behold, I'm against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame, and I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile and will set thee as a gazing stock. Let me tell you something. That is happening right now to America. Right now, America is being made vile and we are being made a gazing stock. What's a gazing stock? We don't use that word in 2021, but don't we use the word laughing stock? Yep. Folks, we are the laughing stock of the world right now. How do you think people in other countries feel when they see those videos? If we look at it and we're horrified and shocked and 20 times as many people are giving it a thumbs down, how do you think people over in China are going to feel when they see that? Or people in Africa or people in the Caribbean or people in Europe? Or, you know, when they see that stuff, it's a joke. It's a joke. It makes us a laughing stock to the world. It makes us just a byword. It makes us a negative example to the entire world. I mean, it's embarrassing. I mean, isn't it embarrassing when all the queer stuff is coming out of America? Yep. Wouldn't it make you like embarrassed to be American? Yep. Like, oh, you're from America? That's where all the, you know, queers and steers or whatever, you know, it's like, dude. You don't even want to be from America if you're going to be known. You're the one, you know, oh yeah, the queer ambassador is the representative of America. And make no mistake about it, homosexuality is, according to the scripture, vile. Yep. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, God gave them over to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, burning in lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. But it says he gave them over unto vile affections. And then he describes those things. God will make them vile, he said. He's making us vile right now because our nation is now being known for this and becoming a gazing stock to the whole world. You know, gazing means to look at. It means people are looking at you like, what is wrong with you? What are you guys doing? But let's keep going. It says in verse 7, it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee. Doesn't that sound like Babylon also in Revelation chapter 18? There's nothing new under the sun. You know, when Babylon's being destroyed, they're fleeing. They're trying to get away. They don't want any part of it. Same deal. Nothing new under the sun. So Nineveh is another great example of that. Who will bemoan her? They will say, Nineveh's laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? And this is the verse I want to focus on here in verse 8. Art thou better than populous Noah, that was situate among the rivers, that had the waters round about it, whose rampart was the sea and her wall was from the sea? Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was infinite. Put and Lubim were thy helpers. Yet was she carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed in pieces at the top of all the streets, and they cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. You know what God's saying here to Nineveh is, you're not better than these other nations I destroyed. Are you better than No? Are you better than this other city? And the answer to that is no. You're not better than No. But, you say, what's No? Look, it doesn't matter. Because whoever it is, they're not better than them. Okay? He's mentioning, cities in Egypt and other places that he's judged in the past. Because if you study scripture, one time Egypt was the big world power, and then it's Assyria with Nineveh, then it's Babylon, then it's the Medes and Persians, then it's the Macedonian Empire, then it's the Roman Empire, and on we go. And God's saying, look, if you are going to commit all of this wickedness before me, don't think that you're better than them. So we might be tempted as Americans to think back to other empires in the past and say, well, okay, of course those nations got judged. Of course Nineveh got judged. Of course Babylon got judged. Of course Persia got judged, but we're invincible, right? We're better than them. We're different. We're invincible. Is that true? No, we're not better than them. We're not different than them. We are not invincible. He's saying, just like them, verse 11, thou also shalt be drunken. Thou shalt be hid. Thou also shalt seek strength because of the enemy. All thy strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. Basically, he's saying, this is what your fortresses are going to be like. This is what your military bases are going to be like. This is what your defenses are going to be like. Like somebody when they just walk up to a fig tree and just open their mouth and just kind of shake the overripe figs and they just kind of fall, just drop them right into their mouth. Just shake them from the tree directly into their mouth. That's how carefree and how easy it's going to be to wipe you out, Nineveh. That's what God's saying. He's saying, you think you're so tough, you're invincible, you're so strong. It's going to be like taking candy from a baby when you get wiped out. That's what he's saying. He's saying it's going to be so easy. He says in verse 13, behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. The fire shall devour thy bars. And that's what came to my mind when I looked at this commercial that says, hi, my name's Emma, and I'm defending you. And I have two moms from California and all this stuff. Nothing against California. I'm from California. Amen. But I thought to myself, we should be good to go then. As long as we've got this lesbian, controlling these missiles, we should be fine. But, the Bible says that people in the midst of thee are women. Now, look, obviously, men and women are equal in the sight of God. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. But when it comes to their roles in this world, women do not belong in the military. Okay? Women do not belong all butched out and getting all strong and tough and being in the military. And, you don't want to be sending women off to the front lines to go fight for you. And this is a bad thing in the case of Nineveh when the defenders are women. He says, thy people in the midst of thee are women. This isn't a good thing. It's not like, you guys have such great diversity in your forces. It's like, no, you have women defending your city and the gates are going to be wide open. And I'm thinking to myself, how can America think that they're never going to be defeated when these other countries are actually serious, they're actually training, they're actually strong and building a tough force, and then we're just all worried about sensitivity training and gender pronouns. And by the way, my preferred pronouns are thee and thou. Amen. I'm King James. But anyway, we're worried about preferred pronouns and worried about everybody's feelings and everything. And you think that we're going to be immune from the judgment of God because we have the most powerful military in the world? Don't you think there are probably people that are high up in our government that are probably selling all our military secrets to someone else anyway? You think people in our government are probably selling the technology and selling the secrets to someone else? And, you know, when we just hand out $2 trillion here and, you know, just another $2 trillion over there, you know, that money comes from somewhere.
Yep.
And we're going into debt. We have this incredible amount of debt. Well, you know what that does? That weakens us with respect to the other nations who are not borrowing all that money, right? So other nations are getting wealthier. We're wasting all our money. They're learning about the technology. And even if they don't get the secrets from us, they've got their own scientists, and they can figure out their own technology, and they've got their own military forces. And you know what? There's going to come a point, my friend, just face it, there's going to come a point where the rest of the world's not going to be satisfied to let this faggoty country rule over them. And they're going to think to themselves, you know what? We can take control. We can take power. We don't need them. We can do this better. We can do this ourselves. Because let me tell you something. Mankind is greedy by nature. And just as America is greedy, every other country is greedy too. And they're not just going to sit back and let a bunch of gender-neutral, androgynous soldiers, you know, be garrisoned in every country in the world and have bases in 153 countries in the world. Eventually, they're just going to get sick of it. And eventually, we're going to be punished for our sins as a nation. This is reality, my friend. You may think that we're invincible, but all good things must come to an end. And you can't just keep mocking God, spitting in the face of God, and expect nothing bad to happen. I mean, literally, our nation opened up the year of Congress by making fun of God. That was the first thing that they did. Our government, they start out the year, and they had the first Congress of 2021, and the first thing they did is make fun of God. Mock God. Because they're supposed to open it in prayer. Which the whole point of opening it in prayer, I mean, why do we open our service in prayer? Why would you open anything in prayer? It's because you want to acknowledge the Lord, and you want Him to bless, and you're acknowledging the fact, Lord, we need your help. We want you to be involved. We want you to guide and direct us, right?
Yes.
Isn't that the whole point of opening in prayer? Why do I pray for my food? You know, because I'm just acknowledging God, that I'm thankful to Him. I want Him to bless me with more food tomorrow, so I'm going to thank Him for the food that I'm eating today, and I want to give Him glory and honor and get Him on my side. I want God on my side every day of my life. So I got to pray every day and make sure I'm walking with God and get the Lord on my side. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. But literally, our nation comes together to open Congress for the year 2021. And when they open in prayer, the prayer is literally a mockery of the Lord. Like, it's going to have the opposite effect. It's going to incur the wrath of God. Blasphemy is one of the things that incurs God's wrath. And the guy gets up and says, you know, in the name of Jesus and Vishnu and Brahman and Allah, he starts naming false gods. And then he says, a man and a woman. And then walks away. Which shows that he's an imbecile because the word amen has nothing to do with men and women.
Yeah.
It has absolutely nothing to do with that. But this imbecile, this buffoon, who is a congressman, who's a United States congressman, by the way, who's a retired preacher, and he got up and literally just made fun of prayer. Because no one can take that seriously, amen and a woman. You know, that's like a dumb joke that a little kid would make, and then their parents would give them a spanking for mocking God. Am I right?
Yes.
In fact, I probably heard that joke as a kid. Amen, a woman. It's like, all right, that's a spanking. That's a paddling, right? It's like, it's blasphemy. It's wicked. That's how they start out the year. Let's just start out our legislative process with that. Thy people in the midst of thee are women. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. It's just going to be like shaking figs into your mouth. It's going to be like taking candy from a baby. It's just open the door wide open. Draw thee waters for the siege. Fortify thy strongholds. Go into clay and tread the mortar. Make strong the brick kiln. There shall the fire devour thee. The sword shall cut thee off. It shall eat thee up like the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the cankerworm. Make thyself as the locust. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. The cankerworm spoileth and fleeth away. Thy crowned are as the locust, and thy captains as the great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in the cold day. But when the sun ariseth, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. And what he's saying here, with all the talk about locusts and cankerworms, he's basically just talking about pests that multiply greatly. You know, maybe a year or so ago, maybe longer, somewhere thereabouts, there was a locust plague that came through Las Vegas. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
It was crazy. And I was watching the videos on YouTube that were just swarms of locusts coming through Las Vegas. It was like a locust plague of biblical proportions coming through. It was incredible. And so when you think of locusts, you think of a huge quantity, right? That's what you think of. You just think of like a swarm of locusts. And occasionally we'll get locusts here in Arizona, but it's not something that happens every year. It's just something that happens from time to time. And so when you think of locusts, you think of a huge multitude. You think of a great number of these things. But you also think of pests. You know, these aren't something that you want. The more locusts, the worse things are, because these things come through and they just devour everything. They eat everything. And what they essentially are is a parasite. Because, you know, you spend all this time growing crops and cultivating food, and then they come through and just eat up your work. And then once they eat up what you've done, then they just go somewhere else. And they just come through and devour everything and eat everything. And so and the cankerworm is another pest that is also a parasite that's eating up that which you're trying to produce for yourself. And so what he's saying is, that basically you have all these leeches in your society. And he's saying, you know, your nobles, your crowned ones. Look at verse 17. Thy crowned are as the locust. He's basically saying Congress is filled with locusts. You just have just so many locusts. And it's not just the Congress, because there's only what? You know, 435 of them. And then you got 100 in the Senate. But then you've just got all of the state government and all of the city governments and the county governments. You just have all these bureaucrats and bureaucracies that are just these locusts just getting rich and getting fat off of other people's work, just devouring the labors of others. That's where we're at today in the United States of America as well, where our crowned are as the locusts and our captains as the great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in the cold day, but when the sun ariseth, they flee away and their place is not known where they are. These people are not going to go to bat for us when we need them. They're going to flee away. They're going to run away. They're going to go hide and save their own skin because they don't love us and they don't care about us and they don't represent us, my friend. Look, if our government represents us, then explain to me why our government is so pro-sodomite when YouTube has spoken. Amen? YouTube has spoken. The people have spoken. But isn't it funny how the people running YouTube, they delete our videos. They deleted our whole channel. But our channel was pretty popular, though, before they deleted it. And lots of other channels were very popular, getting millions of views, and got deleted. Why they delete all these popular channels? Because they don't want people to realize how the people actually feel. And last time I checked, YouTube is not a right-wing Christian website. You know, pretty much everybody's on YouTube. All walks of life are on YouTube. And if anything, there's probably more liberals on YouTube than conservatives, if I had to guess. But it pretty much represents probably the whole nation. And then you go on there, and the army puts out this video, and it's just all thumbs down. Nobody wants it. Everybody hated it. I saw liberal talk shows attacking this army recruiting ad. Conservatives hate it. Liberals hate it. Everybody hates it. But yet, why is this queerness being shoved down our throat, even by our own government, even by the CIA, even by the Army openly? It's because they don't care what we think. They don't care what we want. They don't care what we believe. They don't represent us. It's not a representative government, my friend. It's a bunch of locusts, a bunch of canker worms, a bunch of leeches and parasites that are just using and abusing us for their own personal gain. And they're under the control of Satan, which is why they're promoting all this sodomite stuff that nobody wants. Nobody wants this stuff.
Amen.
Nobody wants to see this garbage. Nobody's interested in that, but that's what they just keep serving up, don't they? They just keep dishing it up because it's of the devil, that's why. They want to corrupt our children. They want to brainwash our children and pervert them at the youngest age possible, and they'll do that through every avenue that they can. Okay, and you can vote in a Republican, and they're going to do the exact same thing. Donald Trump already proved that with all his sodomite appointments and everything like that. Okay. You know, you think about the state of California. You know, the state of California literally had a vote that said, we don't want homos to get married. It was on the ballot, and homo marriage was struck down by the people. Okay. So then a judge said, no, you can't do that. It's unconstitutional. So then California voted to amend their constitution to where it would be constitutional now, to where they say no. And then you know what they did, though? They just said, no, you're still having queer marriage. Just shut up and do it. Even though, I mean, look at the history behind that legislation, and you'll see that California voted against it, and then they voted to amend the Constitution to get rid of it. And it's just like, no, some judge somewhere just rules over them and doesn't care what they want, doesn't care what they think, and just says, no, you're going to have queer marriage because we said so. You know, the Supreme Court of our country is 6 Roman Catholics and 3 Jews the last time I checked. Although it might be 5 Roman Catholics and 4 Jews. Does it really matter? The bottom line is the majority of America is evangelical Christian. You go out soul winning. What do you run into the most out there? Evangelical Christians. Because that makes up way more than half of the population of the United States. Evangelical Christians. Isn't it interesting that the Supreme Court has no Protestants, no evangelical Christians, no Baptists, when those are the largest religious groups in America? It's just all Roman Catholics and Jews, because our government doesn't represent us.
Yeah, right.
That's why. It says in verse number 18, thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people is scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathereth them. There's no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruit of thee shall clap the hands over thee, for upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually? I want to draw attention to the beginning of verse 18 there. Thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Boy, isn't that the case in America today? Are the shepherds not asleep at the wheel? Who are the shepherds? Well, here's another word for shepherd. Another word for shepherd is pastor. Right? And the Bible is saying here, your shepherds slumber. Your pastors are asleep. I'm not surfing the net here. I'm looking up a verse that I want to use in my sermon here to tell you where to go next. It's not in my plan here, but Isaiah, go to Isaiah 56. Isaiah chapter 56. The shepherds are asleep today in America. And that's why we're in the situation that we are. Because today, if the Christian pastors would all be thundering the truth from their pulpits, the queers would be back in the closet, and this country would be a much more righteous place. We'd have a Christian culture. Because if the vast majority of America are evangelical Christians and Baptists, then why is our country being run by a bunch of queers and reprobates? And why do Christians just sit back and let it happen? But I'm telling you, evangelical Christians won't even take a stand on these things anymore. Baptists won't even stand up on these things. And if the light that is in us be darkness, how great is that darkness? Look what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 56. Am I in the right place? Maybe it's 58. Isaiah 56, 10. Yeah, there we go. Okay, all right. Yeah, look at verse number 10. It says, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand, for all look to their own way, everyone for his own, for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I'll fetch wine, and we'll fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. So basically what we have today are pastors telling you that everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be fine. You know what? Tomorrow's just going to be like today, and it's going to be even more abundant, and it's going to be great, and let's eat and drink and be, hey, I'll fetch wine. Let's fill ourselves with strong drink. Tomorrow's going to be like today. Tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. They're saying nothing bad is going to happen. Isn't that what they're saying? Nothing bad's going to happen. But the shepherds, at the end of verse 11 there, it says, they all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Now, we already knew that about the government, right? Every single congressman, just look it up, every single congressman and senator virtually is a millionaire, all of them. How did they get to be a millionaire? Through honest labor? No, because look at their net worth when they went into Congress, and then look at their net worth now. And then look at their salary and do the math. And you know what you're going to find out? It doesn't make any sense. How do you go in worth 300 grand and you come out worth 30 million? Because they are in it for their own greedy gain. They've got lobbyists and they've got people. And you say, why does our government promote homosexuality when nobody wants it? When it gets all, look, YouTube has spoken. Okay, why does our government keep promoting it? Because someone is paying them to promote it. Do you understand? The love of money is the root of all evil. Why would our government do this? Like, why would they make these ads? Why would they make these laws? Why would they force this? I mean, do all of our congressmen and senators, do they really just love homos that much? I'm telling you, they're being paid to do these things. They are being paid to do it. You say, who's paying them? The Jews, all right? But anyway, that's another story. Okay, but anyway, they're being paid to do this stuff. You know, there are people that are of the devil that are just giving them millions of dollars and basically influencing them to promote this stuff. And it's the same reason why the media promotes it. I mean, why would it be in every movie and it's in every book and it's in every TV show? It's not like people in America are just like, please give us more sodomites, more homo characters. No. But yet, it just keeps coming. Why? There are dark forces at work, the evil rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, that are trying to destroy Christianity, destroy morality, destroy our children. They would love nothing more than to take our children and pervert them and teach them this garbage. And so, we need to understand these dark forces that are at work, and they are paying the government, literally. They are donating money to these campaigns so that they'll promote their sodomite agenda. It's the lobbyists, okay? And it's all happening behind closed doors, and you don't know about it, but you know it's there because of the fact that why else would they all be promoting all this sodomite filth? It's evil, it's disgusting, it's against, and then most of them claim to be Christians at the same time. That doesn't make any sense. Christ didn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that. But let me tell you something. The pastors are the exact same way. Because the pastors are also, at the end of verse 11 here, they're looking for their own gain. And if you think about it, a pastor who gets up and goes soft on this sin is essentially doing it for money, if you think about it. You know, if he thinks to himself, well, I'm going to have a bigger church, more money, drive a nicer car, I can have more security, more popularity. I mean, what difference is that from the politician that's doing it? You know, the politician's actually receiving a bribe. He's actually receiving a kickback. He's receiving money. The pastors, though, they're just preaching what people in the congregation want to hear in order to get paid. What's the difference? You're a crook. If you're not getting up and preaching the word of God the way that it's written, you're a crook. If you're going to take a paycheck from the Lord, you better be preaching the Lord's message and not be compromising on this issue of queerness or anything else. You've got to preach the whole counsel of God. You know, I was told in Bible college, I kid you not, and I'll name the name of who said it. It was that slob, David Gibbs from the Christian Law Association. Who knows who I'm talking about? A couple people. That slob, David Gibbs from the Christian Law Association, came to Hiles Anderson and told us, he said, you have to be careful preaching about homosexuality because everyone has one in their family now, and so you have to be careful, and you don't ever use words like queer and fag, and that's wicked for you to use those words, and don't be rude, and don't be ugly about it. You know, you should never say those things, and you need to welcome homosexuals into your church and all this stuff. And this is what David Gibbs from the Christian Law Association was saying. But I want to home in on one thing that he said when he said that, well, everybody's got one in their family now, so, you know, you got to back off on that. You need to be careful how you talk about it because you're going to offend people. Well, let me tell you something. Your queer uncle's a piece of crap that should be put to death according to Leviticus 20:13. Put that in your pope and smack it. I don't care what you think. It's what the Bible says. And you know what? Any pastor that loves you would tell you that so that you won't invite him over to the barbecue so he can molest your kid in the bathroom, you idiot. But these wicked pastors, they're afraid to say that because you know what? I guarantee you that maybe even some people here or people that are big fans of my preaching, they hear that. They probably flinch a little bit like, oh, did you have to say it like that? Yes, I did. Amen. Yes, I did. And you know what? If that bothers you, quit being so brainwashed by this world today. The Bible says if a man lie with mankind as he lieth with the woman, both of them have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that these as brute beasts, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. They defile the flesh. They're filthy. Amen. Sodom and Gomorrah are the example to us. It's Old Testament. That's the book of Jude. It's the 65th book in the Bible. How much more New Testament can you get? Book 65, we're almost to the end. And Revelation's not going to get any easier. He's not going to back off in Revelation, my friend. The book of Jude, the book of 2 Peter says that they're vile, that they're filthy. So why don't pastors get up and say vile and filthy? Why don't pastors get up and say homos are filthy? They're vile. That's what the Bible says. Friend, if a pastor won't preach that, he won't preach the Bible.
Amen.
The Bible, well, you know, homosexuality is a sin. Really? Where's the Bible say homosexuality is a sin?
Right.
Last time I checked, the Bible says that homosexuality is an abomination, that it's filthy, that it's vile, that it's not convenient, that it's reprobate. That's what the Bible actually says, that it's worthy of death. That's what the Bible says. Why don't you preach what the Bible says? And you say, well, you're not going to build a church like that. I'm not trying to build a church.
Amen. You'll never build a church like that.
Not trying to build a church. Because last time I checked, Christ said that he would build his church.
Amen.
And I've been preaching this way nonstop since 2005. And here we are. A lot bigger than we were in the past. Here we are. God's building his church. God's faithful. Because I am not going to get up and tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says.
Yeah, that's right.
And then after you hear it long enough and see it in the Bible for yourself, pretty soon it becomes what you want to hear because you start liking the truth instead of liking the junk that you've been getting from Hollywood and Madison Avenue. That's why people here, they like hard preaching. They like a face-ripping sermon against the sodomites because they have renewed their mind according to the Word of God, and so they see it like God sees it now. And they say, hey, about time somebody told it like it is. Folks, the pastor who loves you is going to warn you about these people so that you don't let your kids around them.
Amen.
So that you don't bring them around your family. If you have a family member that is a homo, cut them off.
Amen.
Have nothing to do with them. They should never come over to your house for any reason. You should never go to their house for any reason. Cut them off. I'm telling you.
Amen.
So don't tell me what to do. Okay, fine. Then you go ahead and expose your family to that garbage, that toxic filth. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Stay away. You know, and this is the question that everybody loves to ask me. Well, what if one of your children becomes a queer? Right? First of all, none of my children are going to become queers. Number one. Because train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Okay. But number two, if theoretically I had a child that were a queer, I would have nothing to do with them. They would be dead to me. Because they're already twice dead, filthy reprobates, and I would have nothing to do with them. I mean, it's such a stupid question anyway. What if your child grew up to be an axe murderer? I'd still have him over for Thanksgiving. Right? Because he could probably cut up the turkey real well, you know? It's such a dumb question. Like, well, what if your child... Look, if my child becomes this evil hater of God, then I would have nothing to do with them. I mean, that was easy. Next question. Oh, I'm going to really stump Pat. What if one of your children becomes a homo? And then I love it when they say this. When they say, well, statistically, you know, because you have 11 of them. Because these people are so brainwashed, they think like 10% of people are sodomites. Folks, it's such a tiny part of the population. It's just that you've been watching so much TV and maybe hanging around places where they hang around or something. But honestly, it's a pretty small segment of the population, my friend. It's a few percent. That's it. The vast majority of people are repulsed by it. They're disgusted by it. They're horrified by it. And they don't want to see it. But it's being crammed down their throat. It's like the emperor's new clothes. Nobody's willing to speak up. Nobody's willing to say anything. You know what? The pastors are asleep today. We need to wake up. And you know what? Sometimes I don't understand things that are happening in our world because I don't pay that much attention to the news and stuff. But the last several months, it seems like this is new. Maybe the last year, this word woke. When did that happen? Is that like the last year? Isn't it kind of new?
Yeah.
Year or two? Because like 5 years ago, that wasn't a thing, was it? 3 years? Okay.
6 months.
Yeah, that's what I think. But anyway, yeah, 6 months, a year, 2 years. But whatever it was, it's pretty new, right?
Yeah.
Folks, you know, the Bible talks about people are going to call good evil and evil good. And they're going to put sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet and light for darkness and darkness for light. Folks, the Bible describes being awake as knowing the Lord and watching. Right? And, it's associated with the second coming. You know, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. You know, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. They that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Right? So we're of the day. We're not of the night. So let's wake up. We need to be awake. And I can't even count how many sermons I've preached on being awake. We got to wake up. We got to be awake, you know. Will Jesus find us? How does that song go? Oh, can you say we are ready, brother? Da, 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 da. Okay, here we go. Say, will he find you and me still watching? Right? And so it's all about, sorry, that didn't work out. But anyway, I'll work on it. But, you know, it's all about watching, and is he going to find us watching? Are we going to? And what does watching means awake? It's a King James lingo for being awake, like the third watch of the night, the fourth watch of the night. We're supposed to be awake, right? And then now all of a sudden it's like, oh, woke is basically just everything that's anti-Bible, anti-Jesus Christ, anti-the Word of God. That's all being woke now. Because everybody was commenting on these recruitment videos for the CIA and the Army saying like, oh, this woke, blankety blank, woke garbage and blah, blah, blah. That's what everybody's commenting. You know, and I'm like, thumbs up on that comment, you know. But anyway, you know, they're going through and saying all this stuff. And then, you know, you hear this all the time, how the woke culture. So what does that mean, woke? I mean, I know it's just everything that's vile, but what is it specifically?
Social justice. It's attached to social justice.
Social justice?
Diversity, accepting all
of them. Diversity, so how is that being woke?
I think
And why is it not awake? Why are we, why, what's the grammar here? What are we doing here with the grammar?
That's the trendy thing.
It's just like use bad grammar to be trendy, like woke. Because why wouldn't you call it like awake? Isn't that the adjective that we're looking for? Like he is awake. We are awake. Isn't that the predicate adjective we're looking for, folks? He is woke. That's the wrong grammar. Why? Okay, so explain to me, what does, I guess, like, waking up to the fact that poor little faggot or something, is that what this is? Can somebody help me?
This used to be like a conspiracy thing. Like, if you were into conspiracies, you're awake. Like,
that's what I, yeah, right. Like, 5 or 10 years ago, it's like, if you're awake, it meant you kind of knew about the fact that, you know, there's a one world government or conspiracies and stuff. That was like being awake. Like if you were into 9/11 truth, you're awake.
Right.
So how did woke become?
It's kind of like the red pill. It's cool. So they switched it for liberals.
So the first on the internet says woke is a term that refers to awareness of issues that concern social justice and racial justice. It is sometimes used in the African-American vernacular, English expression, stay woke.
Stay woke, okay.
It's skyrocketed in the last 3 years, according to Google Trends, up to 100%.
And you know what? The devil always wants to confuse us. So what they're doing is they're confusing this racial stuff with queer stuff.
Right. Yeah.
This is their agenda.
Yeah.
Right? To confuse you. That's why if you go to Black Lives Matter's website, it's all about sodomy.
Yep.
It's all about being a homo, right? Black Lives Matter has nothing to do with being black. It has to do with being degenerate and evil is what it has to do with.
Yep.
Okay. It's all about queerness, and they march in gay pride parades and everything else. And so they're trying to confuse the issue by saying, well, woke, you know, that just means that you're aware of the social injustice and racial injustice. But it's all about accepting queers at the end of the day, isn't it? Isn't that where it all leads eventually?
Yep.
That's what it's all about. And let me tell you something, by the way, to address our black brothers and sisters. And, you know, we've got a lot of black brothers and sisters here. And let me just tell you something. You don't get any special treatment. I'm going to treat you like everybody else. Is that okay? Is that cool? You don't get some special treatment. There's no white guilt here, buddy. I don't suffer from Caucasian guilt. Okay? And I'm not going to say, and you know what? I'm not going to pander to black people by acting like, oh, you're so poor, you're so oppressed. No, you're not. No, you're not. That's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Everybody in this country has equal opportunity, and it's been that way for decades. It's been that way since before I was born.
Right.
So don't talk to me about some junk from the 70s or 60s or 50s. I wasn't even there, and neither were you. Since 1981, and I've been alive on this earth, black people can have any job they want. They can go to any school they want. They can hold any political office they want. Am I telling the truth?
Yep.
Up to and including the president of the United States, as long as they're half white, they could do that. But they could be in Congress. They could be in the Senate. They could be the president. They could be the vice president. Sort of like our vice president right now is like 1/1000th black. Right? She's 1/1024th black. And it's like, you know, can somebody name me a school where black people can't go? Are they allowing black people at ASU?
Yeah.
Yep.
How about the community college system? Are black people allowed? Are they getting the same scholarships? They're getting extra scholarships.
Right. Yep.
So they're getting the scholarships. They're getting the federal student aid, or is that only for white people? Is that only for white kids? No, they're getting that too, right? So they get all the opportunities. They can go to school. They get, you know, last time I checked the want ads, none of the jobs that we're hiring said, like, you know, blacks need not apply.
Right.
I never saw that in any of these ads. And you know what? Last time I checked, every single opportunity is open to red, yellow, black, and white in this country. And you know what? That's great. Amen. It's the way it ought to be. God's house, a house of prayer for all nations. And you know what? I don't have a racist bone in my body. We're all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And you know what? If my children grow up and they want to marry people of other nationalities, if one of my children grew up and married a black person or someone who's Hispanic or Asian or whatever, hey, as long as they're a good, godly Christian, amen. I don't care. That doesn't matter to me. I just want to make sure that my children all marry godly Christians. That's all I care about. I don't care if they marry a white person or a black person or anything. I don't care. It's meaningless to me. But let me tell you something. I'm not going to buy in to this garbage that our world is teaching that just says, oh, you know, we got to be so inclusive and diversity and all social injustice and critical race theory, because I know what's behind it and where it's leading to. First of all, it's wicked in and of itself,
yep,
because it's you're basically just telling black people to be a victim,
right,
yep, instead of actually just succeeding,
yep,
in life.
Exactly.
And it's actually racist anyway to think like, oh, you're black, so you need me to like prop you up.
Yeah. Seriously.
Oh, you're black, I gotta give you special treatment and affirmative action because otherwise you can't make it. Hey, I think every black person in this church can make it on their own without any special treatment from me. I think they can go to school and make it just like everybody else, and I think they can go to work and make it just like everybody else can. They don't need my help because they've got everything that they need from the Lord. And so, you know, I know what the agenda is that it's a Trojan horse. And inside the Trojan horse are a bunch of sodomites. Okay? And the Trojan horse is Black Lives Matter, woke, critical race theory, and all this stuff. You know, critical race theory that's just saying, you know, every problem that black people have is because we did it to them as white people. Even though I wasn't even born, you know, I did it. I'm guilty. My Swedish ancestors, potato farmers in Idaho, you know, are responsible, apparently. But you know what's stupid about that is that it takes the blame off of where it should be? Sin.
Yeah, good.
You want to know why the black neighborhood's messed up? Sin.
Right.
You want to know what's wrong with the black area? Rap music.
Yeah.
And you know what? You can call me a racist all you want. Rap music is garbage and filth. Right. It's the worst genre of music for teaching just the most godless lifestyle imaginable.
Amen.
Right.
And look, I'm not defending other wicked music. I'm sure there's other death metal and satanic things out there that are just as bad. But come on, folks. You know that rap music is some of the smuttiest, filthiest music that there is.
Yep. Right.
And now, today, everybody's listening to rap music, aren't they? Because I guess if you don't listen to rap music, you're a racist. But let me tell you something. Rap music is complete garbage. And that is what is destroying black neighborhoods. That is what is destroying black America, is the hip-hop culture. Like it or lump it, that's the true story. It's like, oh, we repressed slavery. Slavery 170 years ago. It's like, what? It's not slavery, my friend. That was a long time. Well, Jim Crow, before you were born, get over it. Okay? You are where you're at because of your sinful life or your parents' sinful life or their parents' sinful life, period.
Yeah,
so break the chain and get right with God and do something great with your life,
yeah,
and be a godly person, just like I need to do, just like everybody needs to do. Sure, some people have different advantages and whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with skin color. That's just life. You play the hand that's dealt you, and you do what's right, and you serve God, and you're going to be blessed, period. Okay, so don't buy into this worldly brainwashing, critical race theory, woke garbage. That's what it is garbage, okay? Teaching people, no, you want to know what's wrong with the black community is drugs, alcohol, fornication, adultery. And look, I'm not just singling out the black community. I'm not the one who brought it up. You guys are the ones who brought it up because you Googled it and that's what came up. Am I right? Who brought this up? Did I bring this up? All I brought up was what does woke mean? And it's like, well, black people. It's like, okay, well, let's talk about that. And let me tell you something. Hey, there's just as much sin amongst white people.
Yeah.
There's just as much sin amongst Asians. There's just as much sin amongst the Native Americans. They've got their problems. They've got their sins. I'm not singling out black people. I'm just telling you, black people are like everybody else. Their problems are due to sin. They're not some special group of people where it's everybody else's sins that cause my problems. No, your sins cause your problems.
Amen.
White people's sins cause white people problems. Black people's sins cause black people problems. Navajo sins cause Navajo problems. Any questions? And the answer is in the church house. The answer is to get up and preach against the stealing and the murder and the fornication and the adultery and the drunkenness and the drugs and the faggotry and to get up and preach this stuff. That's how we're going to fix America.
Amen.
Not by getting woke to all the injustice and, oh, the poor blacks and, oh, the poor homos. It's garbage. You say, I don't think black people are going to like this. Black people love this if they're actually right with God. Because you think a black person wants to be lumped in with a homo?
No.
If I were a black person, I'd be so mad right now. Being lumped in with a bunch of queers. It's garbage.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with being black, and there's everything wrong with being a queer. It's nonsense. And let me tell you something. America today is like Nineveh. America is like Babylon. America is promoting all of these horrible things and mocks the Lord as a government, as an institution. And we today need to make sure our allegiance is with the Lord and His Word and with the Bible and with church and not be aligned with America first. America is not first for me at all. America is not even second. America is not even on my list. Okay, it's God and family. It's not God and country for me. It's God, church, family. I don't have anything left. I got nothing left for you, America. And you know what? I'd rather hang around with people from any country in the world who actually love Christ than a bunch of American woke people. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, who would you rather hang around with? Woke white people? Or would you rather hang around with born-again black people?
Born-again black people.
Who would you rather hang around with? Americans or Europeans? Well, I don't care. I just put me around God's people.
Amen.
Put me around the children of God. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what nationality they are. You say, well, you know, you gotta stand up for America. I'm not going to. And, you know, if you want to find some church that's going to promote, you know, how wonderful America is and tell you how great it is, then, you know, just close your eyes and open the phone book and you'll just put your finger down, spin around three times, go to the Baptist section, spin around three times and put your finger down and go there and they'll promote Israel and America and everything else. Okay. And look, I'm not promoting our enemies. I'm not for China. I could preach a whole sermon about how wicked China is. And look, this whole world's wicked. All these nations are wicked. That's why we need to be aligned with the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. That's our identity. That's who we are. And not get distracted by all of this other stuff where we're going to be all the... And look, you say, why do you preach this, Pastor Anderson? Because look, I don't want our church members joining the military.
Amen.
I don't want them joining the CIA.
Preach.
I mean, look, when I was growing up, I watched a documentary about the CIA and I sat next to my dad. And we sat together and watched it, and I was thinking, like, man, this is cool, secret agent. This is before they had the metal booger in the nose guy. And we're sitting there watching it, and I was thinking, like, man, this is cool. And I was like, man, I love foreign languages. And it's like, man, that's perfect, because, you know, they use people with foreign languages. I was like, maybe I should grow up and be a CIA agent. This could be a great job. You know, I remember I'm sitting with my dad, just why this is what's going through my teenage mind. And then they explain how CIA agents, they have to be willing to commit adultery and commit murder and steal and do all this stuff. Because, you know, they're a secret agent. They're going to other countries. And so they have to do it. And I remember just looking at my dad and saying, well, no Christian can be a CIA agent.
That's right.
We're just reasonable people watching TV in the 90s. And we looked at each other and said, no Christian should be a CIA agent because you're required to, you know, how could I say, oh, well, you know, I committed adultery, but it's just my job. It's just my job to commit adultery. It's just my job to commit murder and assassinate people and do that. Think about that. You know, I want to make sure that our young people don't grow up and get sucked into these ideologies. Whether it's the woke Black Lives Matter ideology, whether it's the pro-sodomite, bleeding heart, ideology, whether it's this pro-American, America first, American exceptionalism, patriotic ideology. You know, I want our children to grow up with Christian values.
Amen.
And take a stand on the Word of God. And you know what? We can actually have an influence in this country. You know, our voices can be heard, and we need to start demanding that pastors across America preach the old paths. And you know what? We need to reject the woke pastors. We need to reject the queer-loving pastors. We need to reject this stuff and demand that pastors preach the Word of God. And any church that preaches that garbage should be boycotted. They should be forsaken. Because we need pastors that are not asleep. We don't need pastors that are woke. We need pastors that are awake. Awake pastors. We need awake. And so I know this is not a very uplifting and encouraging sermon. But I preach a lot of uplifting and encouraging sermons. This just doesn't happen to be one of them. But I will say this, though. You know what? We're on the winning side.
Amen.
Not because we're America. And you know what? When America goes down, you know, I'm going to rejoice. Because you say, why would you rejoice at the downfall? Because I just rejoice every single day, no matter what happens. I'm just, if America thrives, I'll rejoice. I just rejoice no matter what, because I live in this little bubble called Christ. I live in this bubble called all things work together for good to them that love God. I live in this little bubble called if God be for us, who can be against us? So I'm not worried. I'm not trying to scare you tonight. But what I am telling you is that the pride of America is going to be brought down someday. America will be judged for sure. There will be corpses upon corpses. It will be destroyed. It will be wiped out. They're not better than Nineveh, not better than Babylon. And we need to make sure that we are not brainwashed and that we stay on the Lord's side and have the Word of God determine our beliefs, not talk radio, whether it be conservative or liberal. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. And Lord, these are unpleasant truths, but we need to hear them. Because we're constantly being bombarded in this world with all of this horrible, disgusting ideology, Lord. Help us to stay faithful and true in the midst of this evil and adulterous generation. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody who's offended right now by my preaching, Lord, I just pray that you would just work in their heart, Lord, that they would actually bring to remembrance Bible verses that would show them that what I'm speaking is the truth tonight. Even if I did not deliver the message perfectly tonight, which I'm sure I did not deliver it perfectly, Lord, I just pray that you would use the scriptures that I pointed out and the points that I made, Lord, to wake people up to understand that America is an ungodly nation and a force for evil in this world, Lord, and that we need to make sure that we identify as Christians, Lord, and not get caught up in Americanism or any of these other things, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. In your songbooks, please, number 327. We'll be dismissed to singing number 327, Higher Ground, number 327. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, number 327, on this verse together now. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm homeward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, my heart has no desire to stay, where doubts arise and faith dismay.
my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray to